Well, good morning. If you would, just get your Bible and have it open, if you would, to Acts chapter 15. We'll be referring to that in a minute. I'd like to welcome all of you this morning to the 5-year anniversary celebration and annual meeting of Grace Life Bible Church. Now, we're not like any other church in the way that we handle these things, and we do things unique, as most of you know. I want to start off this morning by, if you were here, if you were at the church, if you were in Wayne's, the cafeteria of Wayne's Manufacturing Shop, the very first time we met as a church, that first time in 2007, if you'd raise your hand. So if you were here that very first time, if everybody look around, we had about 28 folks there, not counting the kids, the first time we met the last Sunday of October in 2007. And so we've come a long way as a church. We've come a long way as an assembly, as a local body of believers here in Michigan since that first time that we met 5 years ago. And so what we want to accomplish in this meeting is a few things. Number one, I want to go over the last year and talk about some of the things that we've done together and some of the things that we've accomplished as a church. I want to review what the core strategy and mission of Grace Life Bible Church is. And I want to also lay out some things that we need to consider going into the new year. These things are going to be both ministry-wise, and also this is the time of the year where we also present the budget and so forth that the church is going to be working from going into the next year. So there's going to be a lot of different things that we're seeking to accomplish with this meeting. And this is an important meeting for it kind of sets up what we're going to be working with and working towards within the next year. But 5 years, I never thought, that first time we met, I made an infamous comment, and some of you are already laughing because you remember what I said. I said that if we ever started a church in Grand Rapids, I was shocked that there were 28 people there the first time, because I always thought it would just be a couple of us sitting in my basement in our underwear. And that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say pajamas, but that's what came out of my mouth, and everybody laughed at that, and that sort of became the infamous statement from that first meeting. But from that 28 people, we met at Apex Cafeteria for a year before we moved into this facility, and we've been in this facility almost 4 years. It'll be 4 years the weekend of Thanksgiving. The weekend before Thanksgiving will be the 4 years that we've been meeting in this building, and before that we met for 1 year in the cafeteria at Wayne's shop. So, the State of the Assembly Address 2012, it is 5 years, and there are a lot of things, you know, as the pastor, I don't always get opportunity as I would like to thank people as I need to and as I should. So I want to start off by thanking the following people, okay? First of all, if you work in the kitchen, if you work in the nursery, if you are one of the teachers in the children's church ministry, if you are laboring and working in the music department, if you are audio-visual, internet-related in any of those ministries, if you have worked at the Bible Conference to help with that or any of those ministries, if you take care, help out with the buildings and the grounds and taking care of the church and making sure things look nice and stay neat and tidy and that sort of thing, if you're on the ladies committee that works to organize events and so forth for the ladies, all the people that we had here last summer for Vacation Bible School, All the people that work to create the bulletin and the copy and to produce the Sunday school notes and all the things that go into that class, the treasurer, the one that keeps track and accounts for the money and pays the bills, all the board members that meet monthly for board meetings and labor together to make sure that the church is working to do what it needs to do, those that are deacons, whether they are in buildings and grounds or helping out with visitor packets, and just the saints in general, we do not accomplish anything as an assembly without everybody's participation. Okay? So I want to say to you personally, and also on behalf of the board, that we appreciate everybody that helps out with the work of the ministry. That we appreciate everybody that helps out and labors in these areas, and I have et cetera, because I know I forgot something, and I don't want anybody to be offended. But that's why I read the passage I read for the scripture reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's talking about how God has formed the church, the body of Christ. And he identifies how he's tempered the body together and how there's a part and there's a purpose that everybody's supposed to play. in not only the greater body of Christ, but also in the local church and the local assembly. And so we want to start the meeting as we look back over the last year and over the last 5 years for that matter with sharing heartfelt appreciation and thanks for everything that everybody has done to help accomplish the work of the ministry. So I think we should, you know, make sure that we are grateful for each other and for everything that has gone in. So you start saying, okay, well, what did we accomplish? What did we do? What did we do in the last year? We had a Christmas program and fellowship dinner back in December. You might not remember that, and that'll be coming up again. We got to talk about that in the near future. We started, although I have not finished yet, the Through the Bible in 7 Sundays. I still have 2 left to do on that. We've had a few Right Division 101 Sundays. We had the Easter morning breakfast and fellowship before the service on Easter morning. We did the Day of the Lord Project Conference back in March. We've had the evangelism training class in May, and then in June we went out downtown and had an event of passing out information and literature regarding the church. We also created a video for that, an introductory video to the church that was put in that we passed out downtown, and it's also put now into our welcome packets that we give to visitors. We introduced a program this summer where we took some young men who were interested in teaching and interested in having opportunities to teach and study the Word of God, who may in the future have aspirations towards possibly preaching and so forth, and trying to bring them along in a mentorship program and setting. And that still continues now with what Josh is doing during the Sunday evening. Craig's now working with him in that regard. We had a church family picnic again at the Schneider's house this summer. The Ladies' Fellowship is continuing to plan different events, various Bible studies. They had the Ladies' Conference a few weekends ago. They have the Secret Sisters thing and just different things that they're doing to try to further the work of the ministry. We had a very successful Vacation Bible School ministry. Many of you helped out with that, and we had way more children than I expected we were going to have. Okay, that was a lot of work, and we accomplished that together, laboring together. We had some church game nights this past year. The teen girls have continued to meet as a class. The church history class, the Sunday school class has continued to meet. And the meal ministry was introduced, and some of you have taken advantage and benefited from that ministry. And, you know, you just keep going here. We continued paying a quarter of the mortgage that we were asked, that the board asked as far as the budget for the following year. And whatever else there is that's out there, I'm sure there are many things that I'm just not remembering. I try to keep a list of these things at home and try to write down everything that the church has done throughout the year, and eventually it just gets to be to the point where I can't keep up and can't remember. But all of these things were done, all of these things were accomplished, not by me acting singularly, not by the board acting singularly, but by all the saints working together to accomplish these things, to host these things, to do things that needed to be done, in addition to just having a meeting every week, okay? So we have some appreciation that we have to recognize. We have to recognize our accomplishments. And the other thing I want to do is make sure that we review the core strategy. That very first time that we met at Apex, that very first time that we sat there in the cafeteria and we met, I laid out a strategy, a core strategy for what was going to be at the heart of Grace Life Bible Church. And we identified about 5 or 6 points that that we said we were going to focus on as a church. And we were going to follow Paul's ministry pattern. We were going to do the work of the ministry the way Paul did the work of the ministry. We're going to seek to follow the pattern that is laid by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, the great Apostle through whom God has revealed the revelation of the mystery pertaining to the church, the body of Christ. And we wanted to do our ministry, we needed to pattern it after the way Paul did ministry. And the first point in that strategy, if you would look at Acts chapter 15, is that Paul, he evangelized strategic cities to establish a beachhead of believers that would reach into the surrounding areas. When we discuss where are we going to put this new church, where do we want to have this new assembly, we identified that it needed to go into the city of Grand Rapids, the biggest metropolitan area in this area of Michigan, so that by putting it there, the church could reach out into the surrounding areas, could draw people in from the surrounding communities, could have a reach and an impact beyond just a simple neighborhood or one location. And Paul does that. Look at Acts chapter 15, if you would, verse 36. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren. Notice, in every what? City. Point number one, Paul went and evangelized urban centers. He went and established churches in local cities. Look at Acts chapter 16, look at verse 12. It says, and from thence to Philippi, which was the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So the Apostle Paul, no offense to the city of Marne, but if he's going to come into this area of Michigan, he's not going to go to Marne. He's not going to go to Cedar Springs. He's not going to go to Hudsonville. He's going to go to Grand Rapids. He's going to go to the chief city of the region. Then he's going to evangelize that city. He's going to establish a beachhead of believers in that city so that then he can use that local church in that area to reach out into the surrounding communities and outlying areas. Second, once Paul evangelized and got some folks saved, he then took those believers and he edified them in sound doctrine. He taught them the Word of God rightly divided. He taught them about the principle of dispensational Bible study. He taught them how to understand the Word of God so that they could be not ashamed, so that they could be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, so that they could do the work of the ministry. So step one, he evangelized them. Step two, he took those believers in and he taught them, he educated them in sound doctrine so that they could be established in the faith. And once he's got them evangelized, once he's got them edified and built up in the truth, he then would establish those communities into local churches. He would take amongst the believers in an area that are now saved, that are built up, that are edified, and he would organize them into local churches. And fourth, he would enlist key men. He would enlist key men that could be trained to carry on the work of the ministry in his absence. Paul goes into the city of Philippi, for example, and he teaches there. And when he leaves, he moves on, and he leaves behind some men that are equipped, men that are trustworthy, men that are able to continue the work of the ministry in Paul's absence. So number one, he evangelized. Number two, he edified. Number three, he established. And number four, he enlisted help. And that's what we've tried to do here. We've tried to identify not only men currently that can help with that are board members, that are helping out with the deacon role and so forth, but also men within the assembly that are coming up, that are of a younger age, that are coming up that may be interested in taking on a more active role in the work of the ministry, to identify those individuals and to train them and to teach them and to give them opportunities so that they also can continue the work of the ministry. And last is the idea of expanding. Reaching out, possibly even planting other churches. This is the five core strategy that I laid out that first Sunday that we met. Those of you that raised your hand, hopefully you remember that. Okay? But for those of you that are new, I don't talk about this every Sunday because we're off teaching about other subjects. But it's important for you to understand what the basic view and premise of the local church is and what makes Grace Life Bible Church different from other churches and what the core strategy is. So if our purpose then is to evangelize, edify, and establish, the purpose being to evangelize, edify, and establish the saints through the preached word rightly divided, how have we sought to accomplish that? One way is through Sunday school. The adult Sunday school hour at 9 a.m. I want you to just think about that. In order for that to function, you got to have a teacher. That'd be me. You got to have an audience because I don't want to teach the paint. Okay? And you got to have coffee so you can stay awake. And it's, my point is that in accomplishing these things, there is labor. There is help that needs to be given to pull these things off. We also have the main Sunday morning service. We need a preacher, we need an audience, we have greeters. Somebody's got to have the coffee and the donuts. We have a nursery going. We have three children's classes down here in the Sunday school wing. We have music. We have audiovisual. We have cleanup. All of these things are needing to be done so that we can meet as a body of believers and have a meeting where the Word of God is preached. Now, maybe you can say, well, we don't have to have donuts. Yeah, you're right. Maybe we don't have to have donuts, but you want them, don't you? Okay? You like to have them. My point is just to say that all of these are things that go into fulfilling the purpose of evangelizing, edifying, and establishing the believers. And none of these things can be accomplished by one individual working alone. It requires the work of everybody. Same thing with the 6 p.m. evening services. For those of you that don't know, folks, this list here does not even include the food pantry. It doesn't include fellowship dinners. It doesn't include ladies' meetings. It doesn't include youth activities, vacation Bible school, Bible conferences, janitorial cleaning, etc. A lot of stuff goes on around here. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. But all of this stuff is being done by all of you working together to do it. Okay? It's not going to happen unless people are volunteering. Unless people are saying, yes, I'll do that. I'll take that. I'll do this. I'll step up to this. And so we want to, again, make sure that we thank and share appreciation for all of these things. One other big thing, I don't know if you're aware of it, is the media outreach. Every week, the audios are recorded, the videos are recorded, they're extracted, they're burned on CDs and DVDs. There's weekly updating of church websites and so forth. Folks, I just want to tell you, too, that I am hearing from people on the internet from all over the country and all over the world that are watching, that are listening, that are studying with us, and some of these folks have actually started to donate and help the church financially by supporting the work of the ministry through PayPal account and other ways that we've made available for them to do that. Okay? The church history website alone, I just checked it yesterday, has almost 25,000 hits on it since it was started almost 3 years ago. The church website, Kurt, I don't even know. Do you know how many there are on the... About 400 visitors a week to gracelifebiblechurch.com. Okay? So, the ministry that we are having together is reaching far beyond just what is going on here on a Sunday morning. Okay? It is reaching well beyond the walls of this building. It is reaching out to this country and around the world. I'm hearing from people in the Philippines. I got three or four guys on the Philippines that are bombarding me almost every week to give them more information about Right Division. I can't even keep up with these guys who are asking me for so much stuff. Okay? There are people that are out there that are benefiting from this ministry far beyond just the walls of this assembly building. There's a TV ministry in Grand Rapids in Holland that is still running currently. And we also sponsor or are involved in putting Brother Jordan on the radio on... Is that Sunday morning now, Wayne?
Yes.
Sunday morning? Okay. So all of these things are going on. All of these things are being accomplished. All of this is being accomplished by a congregation of between 70 and 85 saints. Okay? There are between anywhere on average between, if we say average, it's probably more like between 65 and 75. But we generally have between 70 and 85 people, that's adults, it's not counting the kids. Okay? That's just adults that are here on a Sunday morning. All these things are being accomplished by 70 to 85 people. Come on. In the past year, we've lost some key families. We've lost some folks to death, some key members of the assembly. Some folks have moved away. But we also have seen many new families come. Many new families come that have chosen to stay, that have chosen to become a part of Grace Life Bible Church, that have chosen this to be their church home for various reasons. I've spoken to some of them and they share, the story is almost always the same, that they appreciate the church because they're finally understanding the Bible for the first time. They're finally being taught the Bible in a way and in a manner that they can get it, that they can comprehend it, that makes sense, and that empowers them to go out and do their own reading, their own research, and their own study. So if you take into account the fact that, yes, we've had some people leave for various reasons, but we've had new people that have come along also and stayed and become a part of the assembly here, that the size of our congregation has grown over where it was at last year. And that is obviously a positive thing for the church. A couple years ago, I challenged you as an assembly, I challenged all of us, come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to be the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Was We'll just look at a few of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what we read for scripture reading. For as the body is one and hath many members, verse 12, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Folks, you and I are made part of the church, the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, is one body with Christ as its head, made up of many individual members. That's what the Scriptures teach. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For as the body is one, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Folks, that means that every single one of us here this morning, every single one of us that has trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, believe that He died on the cross for our sins and rose again, and we're relying exclusively upon that and that alone, that we have all been made a part of the church, the body of Christ, universal. And what Grace Life Bible Church is a local manifestation of the body of Christ. And it also tells me these verses that every person here, every member of Grace Life Bible Church, just as every member is necessary for the greater body of Christ, every member is necessary for the functioning of this assembly. To accomplish and do the things that I just went over that we've done and accomplished and will continue to strive for moving forward. Come with me if you want to Romans chapter 12. Folks, we have a lot of opportunities to be the body. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that what? Do rejoice. And weep with them that what? Both. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We've had both. We've had periods of great rejoicing. But we've also had periods of sorrow and loss. Okay? But in being the body of Christ, the believers are supposed to, if there's a believer that's rejoicing, we're supposed to rejoice with them that rejoice, and we're supposed to weep with those that weep. We're supposed to support and be there for each other as members of the church, the body of Christ. Come over to Galatians chapter 6. Come over to Galatians chapter 6. You know, I think just this week of things that were going on with different families and how the word got out that they were struggling, and you see the response on Facebook as people are, I'm praying for you, and you're on my mind, and so on, and please let us know what is going on, and you see that, and that's body life, folks. That's the church, the body of Christ, rallying together to support their own, to be the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you're going to be a part of a local church, there's going to be times where you're going to rejoice with them that rejoice, and you're going to mourn with those that mourn, and we're going to have to be there for each other, and as we strive together for the work of the ministry, as we strive together to accomplish the things that God would have us to do. Come over, lastly, on this point, to Titus chapter 2. Come over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 2. Verse 1, first. But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. That the aged women may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they should be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Folks, Paul goes through and he writes to Titus and he says, listen, here's behavior in the local church. Here's how the aged women should behave. Here's how the young women should behave. Here's how the young men and the aged men should behave. And here's how things should function in a local church as the body of Christ is designed to take care of itself. The aged women have a role. The young women have a role. The aged men have a role. The young men have a role. You know, you think about it, and Paul often uses the illustration of battle. You think about a battle. Who goes into battle? The young men. The old men are doing what? Planning it, strategizing it, setting the course, setting the operations, doing all of that type of work, and so that the young men that are able and equipped and have the energy and so forth can go in there and get in the fray and get the work done. Well, so it is in the local church. So it is in a local body of believers. That everybody has a role in being the body of Christ, in being a member of the church, the body of Christ, and carrying forth what that is. Year six, as we start year six today, without a doubt provide ample opportunities to demonstrate to each other in tangible ways what it means, what the love of Christ is, and what it means to be a member of the church, the body of Christ. I think of folks already right now in this assembly that I know are very ill, that are going to need support, that are going to need encouragement, that are going to need somebody to come along and help them bear those burdens, and so forth. Goals for year six. Come over quickly to Galatians. Folks, this is a goal every year because the natural temptation and propensity of us as human beings is to grow weary. And when you grow weary, what do? You quit. You give up. You stop doing. You stop standing. You stop doing what you should do. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Folks, I think about all of the time that some of us spent in a previous assembly teaching and preaching and laboring for what appeared to be no purpose or no fruit at all. And then we come here, and look what happens. We cannot grow weary in well-doing. We cannot grow weary in doing the things that we know are right as believers. Because it may look right now that the season is not bearing any fruit, but the Word of God says that in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. It's always a goal. We cannot judge our successes based exclusively on the numbers. We cannot. Second, we need to continue to pursue purposeful, intentional evangelism opportunities. Now, we had one event along these lines. We need to plan and look at doing some more of them so that we can equip the believers for those core strategies, those core issues of being able to evangelize and being able to edify and establish people in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. Both of those need to be focal points and central issues for the work of the ministry. We need to continue to strengthen our current ministries, whether that's the nursery or children's ministry or vacation Bible school or whatever it is. We need to make sure that we are doing what we can do and are doing in the best way we can. We need to continue to foster church community through fellowship events like the game nights, like the picnics, like those types of activities that are available just for fellowship, to get the believers together, to fellowship one with the other. Some possible new ministries to look at, folks, leading into year six. We've had discussion in our board meetings about getting a live internet stream of the service on the internet. Okay? To be able to live stream the service for people. We're hearing from people from all around that are asking why we don't have a live video stream of the service. Now, that's not so you can just stay home and watch church in your pajamas, okay? That's for those people that don't live around here to have an opportunity to be able to get the service and feel like they're a part of what's going on here at Grace Life Bible Church. So that's something that's being discussed. Another thing that I personally would like to see happen is somebody is willing and able to step up to manage the bookstore. The bookstore now just kind of sits there and there's not really a whole lot going on with it. I'd like to see some more vitality and life in that aspect of the church. So that's an opportunity that is out there for somebody that is interested. And when it comes to immediate needs, what are things that we need right now? We need to plan next Vacation Bible School. We need to form a committee of people that are going to be willing to take that on as a project and work together to see that happen. And also we're in need of nursery workers to join a 6-week rotation cycle in the nursery. I want to stress this because I was asked to do so. If you are asked to sign up for the nursery, you are not going to be pigeonholed in the nursery week after week after week after week on end forever. Amen. There is a rotation and you would only be asked to do it once every 6 weeks. So if you are approached or if you would like to volunteer, whatever, we'd like for you to consider doing that. I have an example here of the schedule that was given to me. The only person's name that's on there more often is Beverly's, the one that is overseeing the ministry there in the nursery. But there's a cycle, there's a rotation. So that we have two immediate needs, we have some things to look forward to in the following year. Folks, this is the part of the presentation that I don't like. Okay? This is the part of the presentation where we do it, where we have to talk about the finances of the assembly. Okay? And I'm doing it this year. In past years, Todd has done it, or Wayne has done it. But with year 5, and it being of a critical nature, I felt like I was the one that had to do this and to set this up and to lay this out. So at this time, I'm going to ask for Wayne and some of the other elders if they will pass out distribute the information. Even if you are new here and you've never been here before, we are going to give you a piece of paper that has the information on it. Now, I want to take you through this information as succinctly as I can, highlighting the key things that you need to be aware of. Wayne, is this organized the same order as this one? Okay. When you get your packet, if you would please separate the blue sheet from the white sheets, okay? I'd like you to set the blue sheet aside for a minute, because the blue sheet spells out where we're going to be going in the coming up year 6. The white sheet is going to show you everything that has occurred financially in the church from the last year when we had this meeting until today. So this is a year, it's a year to date for, dating from the last time we had the meeting. Okay, does everybody have one that wants one? You folks that are sitting out there, I'm going to be showing some graphics on the PowerPoint. If you would like to come in here and look at them, you may certainly do that. Otherwise, we have plenty of seats in here if you want to do that. Otherwise, you're perfectly able to feel free to stay where you're at. All right, I want to look at the white sheets first, the balance sheet. This is the church balance sheet. It shows the assets of the church. You'll notice that there are a few savings accounts. Okay, one of the savings accounts was for the memorial funds that came in when Linda Nash passed away. Just to recap, those memorial funds were spent on the tables that you are sitting at. They were spent on the drums, the guitar, and possibly a few other miscellaneous things, and so that is how much money is left in that account from that. Okay? You will see the printing fund. That is the monies that I use to print my books. Whenever I have a book printed, that'll be paid for. All of that money has accumulated through the sale of books at various conferences and stuff like that. And then you will see that we have a savings account also for the Vacation Bible School. Now, I don't want to get bogged down too far in any of one of these individually. I'd like you to run your, you can see the assets of the church, the original building and land, the costs there. You can see the hard improvements to the building. That's carpet, that's things that would remain attached. There's soft improvements, painting and so forth. And then you have the removable contents. That's the value of anything we could take with us if we ever had to vacate the building. The piano, the tables, the chairs, all that sort of thing. And so you see the total fixed assets there. And then you also then have the liabilities. There are $736.63 payable on a credit card. And then the big item there is the mortgage, which we will be talking about more in detail in a few moments. If you turn the page from there, you can see the income and expense report for the church. You see that the offerings are broken down there by Sunday, first, second, third, fourth, fifth Sunday of the month, and so forth. I also want to point your attention to something. If you would star two items under the income portion, you will notice that there are two totals. There is one total that says total offering from saints. That's $71,000. And then immediately underneath that, you will see another total that says offerings from other saints. If you will circle those two numbers, because we will be talking about those in more detail in a little while. I also want to point your attention. If you look at other sources of income, you'll see Bible conference offerings, interest from checking accounts. We took in $466 from the Meyer Community Rewards Program. I want you to look at PayPal deposits, $1,956. That is people that are donating to the church, that are watching us online, have made donations of almost $2,000 to the assembly since last year at this time. So we do have some people that are pretty faithful and regular on the internet that are supporting the work of the ministry. And you can see the rest of the expenses. I'm not going to go through all the enumerated expenses here. You can look at those things on your own. Certainly, if you have a question about anything specifically, we're happy to answer your question. The treasurer is sitting in here that can answer some of these questions a bit more specifically than I could if need be. So you can look at the rest of the income and expense report and let us know if there are any other questions regarding it that either don't seem right or you want clarification on. I should also tell you that these same sheets are handed out at the beginning of every board meeting. Every member of the church is free to come to every board meeting. The first hour of our board meetings are open. Saints can come in and sit in and hear what's going on, review the statements, look at what's going on. Yeah, and then the second half of our board meeting is usually a closed portion where we discuss other things as need be. But all of these financial reports are passed out every time we have a board meeting monthly. So, does anybody have any questions regarding this? All right. So, what I want to do then is point out a few things that I feel are key for all of us to be aware of and changes that are going to be coming. But before we go to the blue sheet, I just want to look at a few things specifically to make sure that everybody understands. Okay? First, with respect to the income, and Wayne, apparently I didn't add it correctly or something, but so my number that I had was slightly off from the one that you presented at 71,000. But if you look at your income and expense report sheet, I ask you to star this or circle it. Okay? Where it says offerings from saints, that is everybody in this assembly with the exception of Wayne. Okay? So that's everybody in the assembly with the exception of Wayne. Where it says on your report, offerings from others, we are only looking at what Wayne is doing. Okay? You need to understand that when you look at the sheet, that is the first piece of pertinent information that you need to be aware of. Okay? I want to also draw your attention to the mortgage number. All right? If you look at the mortgage, you'll see a total, and I want to make sure I get this correct, of $628,066. Everybody sees that? There are really two separate mortgages. The first mortgage is payable to Mercantile Bank for $466,066.26. I got that right. A lot of sixes. There's a second mortgage, mortgage number two, that is payable and owed to Wayne himself. For those of you that are new or are not aware, Brother Nash put up the collateral to secure the purchase of the facility. Okay? There is one mortgage that is payable to the bank. There is a second mortgage that is payable to Wayne himself. So I just want to make sure that in the interest of full disclosure, everybody is following what I'm saying. Okay? That is how we get the total then of $626,066.26. That total is made up of both of those numbers added together. Any questions about that? Yes? It's on the balance sheet. Look at the front sheet. It's not right on the balance sheet, about halfway down, under liabilities and equity. You see it? Okay. Todd? I'm missing a zero. It's $162,000 on the second mortgage, not $100.20 or whatever it was. Okay. Everybody clear out? Sorry about that confusion. Any clarification on any of that information? Okay. Now, the budget that we have been working under this past year, so for the up until today, has basically stated the following. Okay? So I want you to look at this. The Saints have given just over $71,000 based upon the number that is in the packet that Wayne gave you. Okay? That $70,000 or so has been directed to pay for all of the operating expenses. That includes the utilities, the upkeep on the building, my housing allowance, vacation Bible school, anything related to the functioning of the assembly, minus the mortgage. Okay? So the Saints have been asked, according to the budget presented last year, to cover the operating expenses and a quarter of the mortgage. And so this number right here of $1,186 per week is the number that you have seen in your bulletin down here for the last 52 weeks. Okay? So when we were asking for $1,186 a week, we were asking for the Saints to cover the operating budget and a quarter of the mortgage. Is everybody with me on that? That shouldn't probably be a surprise unless you're new. So that means that Wayne, the $44,000 that you see there on the income and expense sheet, that has been being given by Wayne to pay the remaining three quarters of the mortgage owed to Mercantile Bank at roughly, as I've according to my math, about $918 a week. Okay? Everybody with that? Now the thing that's critical and important for you to understand is in that scenario, there is nothing minus a mandatory $75 a week interest payment. We are not making any payments right now to that second mortgage that is owed to Wayne, except a mandated legal interest payment of $75. Is that correct? Okay. Any questions about that? So I want you to now, if you would, get your blue sheet. This is the proposed budget moving into the new year. So this would be year 6. All of these numbers are based upon expenses that the church incurred in the last 12 months and so forth. So you can see the building costs for the buildings and grounds and so forth, custodial expenses, insurance on the building and that sort of thing. You'll notice the line item that says interest second mortgage at $75. That's what I was just referring to. That is the mandated legal amount we have to pay to Wayne on that mortgage of $75 a month interest. Supplies for the kitchen. Now you'll notice that the big item here is the rent and the mortgage. You'll notice that what we have decided to do as a board. Instead of moving forward again, asking the assembly to pay a percentage, we are now asking for just one budgetary number a week. That includes the operating expenses and the mortgage payment. Now, before everybody freaks out, I want to make it abundantly clear. Brother Nash is not abandoning the ministry. Okay? He is not. But he is getting close to an age where he is looking at retiring. And as he looks at retiring, he is no longer, once he retires, he is no longer going to be able to continue at $44,000 to continue to pay for 3/4 of the mortgage. So what the church board has decided to do by unanimous decision is to move forward with a budget that says, here is the total amount that is needed to run this assembly every week. That includes the entire mortgage payment and the operating expenses. And I want to point out, there is nothing in this for me. I have told the board that I do not need any type of an increase for my personal expenses in this coming year. Okay? I'm not getting anything out of this in terms of financial, kickbacks or anything of that regard. Okay? So, everything else on here is pretty much sort of par for the course for what we've seen over the last 3 to 4 years, with the exception that we are now moving from that quarter to showing you here is everything that we need to run the assembly. And the thinking of the board in this regard is as follows. Okay? If we continue to just say we need a quarter, we're going to end up hurting ourselves, because the time is going to come when Wayne is going to need to retire. The time may come that we need or should and wish to desire to refinance the mortgage. And what we want to do is get ourselves to a position where we can refinance the mortgage on our own strength, on our own merit, without having to have Wayne be the guarantor or the backer on the loan, so that the church can move forward in a state of financial soundness without needing to rely on one individual to continue to make it work. Now, I have a couple more things, and then we'll take any questions. So this is the way I've sort of conceived of it, okay? The new budget reflects the true cost of running the assembly. Okay? Not that we were trying to hide anything, but we were trying to... The idea always was that as the church grew, as the church grew in number and strength, that Brother Nash would be able to slowly pull himself back out of the picture, not totally out of the picture, but remove the amount that he was doing, because there would be more of us to step up to it. Okay? So what we're trying to do in the new budget that we have before you on the blue sheet of paper is we're trying to reflect the true cost of running the assembly at $2,030 per week. Okay? So this seeks to close the gap here between what the saints and Wayne have been doing. So what we're hoping is that we can move up this way, so that Wayne can move down this way, and so that we can still reach that number. Obviously, that number is going to be reached one way or the other. Okay? Because Brother Nash has committed that that's what's going to happen, at least for now. Okay? So I want to take that off the table as well, if you're worried about that. So it's seeking to close the gap here between what the saints have been doing and what Wayne has been doing. And as I've said, Wayne is not walking away, and what the board wants to do is to prepare the church for Wayne's eventual retirement, okay? So that the church can move forward on its own financial setting and footing and grounding without needing to rely very heavily, on the generosity of Wayne Nash. Okay? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, it's extremely uncomfortable for me to talk about this stuff, as I know it's uncomfortable for Wayne to sit here and listen to me talk about it and hear his name used and explain all these things and so forth. But we have to understand where we are at 5 years. And this is where we're at. All right? Now, any questions about any of that? Bart. Wayne.
Well, we just refinanced Bart, I think about 6 to 9 months ago. We've done very favorable interest rate of 5.3% based on what's going on in the banking industry. The biggest thing that we have going against us here, Saints, is that the bank wants to see more participation from everybody rather than the way that it is now. And that's the goal of all of this, is to get to a point where I don't have to personally guarantee if there's enough equity into this facility, and with the strength of the offerings, and they've been increasing each year, so don't misunderstand me. It's not like, you know, we haven't been growing financially, but if I have the bank review this every now and then, because I'm looking for an opportunity when we can get a mortgage without me being a personal guarantee. So far, to answer your question, that's out there, but it is not imminent right now as we're meeting today. And the banking industry is getting more friendlier now. Not only is the open light on, but the welcome mat is also at the front door. And so, you know, maybe in another year or so, as we see how this is transgressing, we can go back and talk to the bank and see what they're willing to do.
Any other questions? Okay, I don't want to just end. Are there any other questions with respect to this? If you would open your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to end with some encouragement on these matters from the Word of God. Oh, one thing I forgot. This is important. I'm sorry. I just didn't click enough buttons. We are also, in addition to that budget, new weekly budget, one of the things that the board would like to try to do is in a month where there is a fifth Sunday, to designate a second offering on those Sundays where if somebody wished to make a specific debt cancellation offering, that they could do that. And it would first be applied to the money that is owed Brother Nash. Once that is taken care of, then we would apply those funds toward the mortgage that is owed to Mercantile. The board feels that we need to show all due diligence and prudence in demonstrating to this man the great affection that we have for what he's done so that one of the reasons we have a church and an assembly is because of his generosity. And I know he doesn't like me talking about it, and he's probably going to take me back by the scruff of the neck afterwards and whoop me on the backside for doing it. But it's a fact, folks. There is no Grace Life Bible Church to the extent that it is now without he and Linda. Okay? And so what we want to do with this debt cancellation offering is set aside a specific time that if somebody was willing and able that they could make a specific second offering that would be applied directly to paying down that mortgage. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Folks, we're in the dispensation of grace. We're under grace. We believe that, we teach that, we stand by it. But we also need to not use grace as a means and a mechanism to hide behind to not do what's necessary for the work of the ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You will never hear me say, you will never hear Wayne or Todd or Craig or Norm or anybody else in this assembly advocate that you give the church an offering before you put shoes on your children's feet and food in their mouth. You will never hear us say that. You will never hear us put you under the law and say, you better give or you're going to rob God and God's going to come and get you and smack you around and do all that sort of thing. You're not going to hear us say that. But what you are going to hear us say is that the Apostle Paul says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him what? I want to encourage you in this way in three areas. First of all, to give purposefully means that it is thought out in advance. It is not, what do I got left over? It is to purpose in your heart is to think about it in advance. To look at what are the needs of the assembly. To weigh in your own family life, what is it that we, what are our needs and what can we do? And then deciding on what that is and doing it consistently. Just, you know, I don't know, I can just share with you, I get paid every 2 weeks, and when I get paid, I go in and to my electronic banking and I pay my bills. And the first thing is I do is when I'm paying my bills, I set aside two checks that are already designated with the amount of money for my offering before I've done anything else. That's what it means to give purposefully, to determine, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. That's what Paul's saying here. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There are 3 points here. Number one, there's the idea of it being thought out in advance. Number two, it's intentional. And number three, it's consistent. When we're getting ready to go on a trip, and I'm planning my budget for the trip, I plan within my budget for the trip that I have to make up for my offering when I'm gone. Because when I'm not here, the lights are still on, the donuts are still being eaten, the coffee is still being made, the person that's standing here in my place is still getting something for their time. And so we need to be purposeful, we need to be intentional, and we need to be consistent. We're not asking anybody to do anything that's going to harm you, that's going to break your neck, that's going to make it so unable for you to feed your family. But what we are asking for you is to evaluate, to purpose in your heart, and to decide this is what we're going to do. One more passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Not that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and of their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying also with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take up the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Do you understand? When we collect an offering, we are partaking in the fellowship of the mystery. To partake in the financial resources as a church is one of the ways that the believers have fellowship one with another, according to the Apostle Paul. And this they did, verse 5, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that they desired Titus that he had begun. And so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7, therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Folks, my wife says to me all the time that what you do says more to me about what you care about than what you say with your mouth. If we love the grace message, if we love the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, if that truth has gripped us, if that truth is something that is burning its way down to the very fiber and core of our soul, Paul says here to the Corinthians, he says to them at the end of verse 8, he says, to prove the sincerity of your love. It's an issue that is proven by in one of the ways, at least, is in giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you, and have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. See, the Corinthians, they started off doing what they needed to do. Doing what Paul was asking them to do. And over time, what happened? It dwindled off and it fell off. Verse 12. Verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also. Now notice. Out of that which ye were. Is Paul asking them to go so far beyond their means in doing this that they're going to sink themselves financially? He's asking them to do what they can out of what they what? Have. And he's asking them to do it with purpose. He's asking them to do it with intention. And he's asking them to do it with consistency. And those are the three points. With respect to all of this, that I want to make sure that you understand. That the Corinthians, see, they had readiness to will. They were willing to do it. They were ready to do it. But then he says, look at verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Folks, there are some folks in this assembly that are on fixed incomes that are not going to be able to do very much, if anything. But there are others of us that are not in that situation. And for us to choose to just not do anything would not be in accordance with the teachings and the principles of grace according to the Apostle Paul. And so we need to have intention, we need to have purpose, and we need to have consistency. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. Now watch verse 14. But by what? Equality. That now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. That their abundance also may be a supply for your want. And that there may be what? Equality. That is what we're trying to do. That is what the budget on the blue sheet of paper is about, is trying to bring about a greater financial equality within the life of this assembly and to be grateful for what has been done for us to allow us to be where we're at. So in conclusion to this, as we move into year 6, what do we need to keep in mind? Number one, we need to be the body of Christ towards each other. Number two, we need to continue to support Grace Life Bible Church with our time, our prayers, and our finances. And number three, get involved. Get involved in the work of the ministry. You know, I look over here at Anna, and I'm not trying to embarrass her, but Anna was a former student of mine. She sat in my class in high school for 3 years, 2 years, whatever, and now she's here at the church, and you have no idea how much that thrills my inner man to see her sitting here every day. And her husband Logan as well. And they're getting involved. She's helped. She's singing the music. We need to get involved. Get involved in the life and the vitality of the local church. Addict yourself to the work of the ministry. And as we strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now I understand that, you know, there's probably going to be questions or comments or whatever, and you should feel free to come up to any board member and ask us anything that you feel is on your heart to do so. So before we close this, everybody is invited to have cake and ice cream. There's a 5-year anniversary cake out there. And everybody that is here is invited to celebrate 5 years of Grace Life Bible Church and to, as we continue to move forward. Does anybody have any other questions, comments, or things for the good of the order that you would like to share or have answered at this time? Oh yeah.
Yep.
And we are going to make these available too for all the folks that were not able to be with us this morning so that they can be kept appraised and current on where we are at as well. Ronnie?
Is there any way to make offerings through your bank?
Yes. The church has a PayPal account. Oh, so you're talking as an individual, make a debit to the way, do we have that capacity? They're asking, can they just set up in their automatic payment a automatic offering to the church that would go into our account?
You mean it would be with a check generated from
Beverly?
Working at Bible Doctrine, we have a handful of people who donate monthly to credit cards as well. I don't know if that's an option or not.
Well, we already have that option. On the church's webpage, gracelifebiblechurch.com, you can click on it, PayPal, and then if you wish to make a donation that way, you can set up a credit card payment to the church and do it that way as well. We see who makes, there's a name on that, and so if we know it's a saint from the assembly, Wayne sees that, he could designate that to where it needs to go, correct?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
You know, saints, I don't want to share something that's going to be a discourage meant to the ones who are participating in PayPal, and there's some of you who are, but that's kind of free service. So if you give $100 to the church, all the church
anything else? Ronnie?
I can't answer that. I mean, the immediate concern is, and I've shared this with Pastor Brian before, you have an asset here. Don't lose sight of that fact. As far as the $162,000 site, that would probably just go away through direction to my trust. But as far as the mortgage to the bank, I feel that they would be willing to work with you folks. Don't lose sight of the fact that you've got a very attractive building here around one of the main thoroughfares in Northwest Grand Rapids going out to the college. If you elected to go to, I always make a joke about it, that you want to meet in a bus. If you can find a bus that can handle the 75 people or whatever and get out from underneath this building, you'll be fine. But I would like to think that, you know, the Lord's got somebody else in mind. If something were to happen to me, whether it be physically or, you know, a change in my lifestyle or where I'm going to locate at one day, I would like to believe that somebody else, maybe two or three other families, can come in here and carry on where I'm presently participating and help this ministry continue to grow. But it is a good question. We don't have an insurance policy on me with insurance being the beneficiary, although I know some assemblies do. But there's a cost attached to that, and it's going to be an expensive cost because of my age. You know, if we would have done this at a younger age, it wouldn't be that bad. I just see that money going in the wrong direction for premiums at this point. Another good question, though, Brian.
Anybody else? The point of this meeting was not to send you off to eat cake upset. The point of this was to be, here it is, let's go do it. Okay? Let's go do it. Let's go get it done. And something else, this is just totally unrelated. Once we get this mortgage situation under control, I would think eventually we might want to have a full-time pastor that could devote all his time and attention to the work of the ministry. That would be something that I would like to see someday, but that is so down the line. We first have to get our handle on this, and this is the goal. This is where we're at, and I appreciate all of you listening intently. If you have any questions or comments, please make sure you ask one of us.